Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to, in a short time, I'm going to be before you. We're going to talk about how to handle hardship. How to handle hardship and how to handle it triumphantly. We've taught this before. It's good to have a reminder. How to handle hardship triumphantly. Amen. Let's turn over to our foundation text, Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How to handle hardship triumphantly. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, and it reads, "During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." Amen. It's good news.
Amen.
He heard, remembered, saw, and knew. Now, we're going to reread verse 23, because there's two perspectives. You want to handle hardship triumphantly. If you want to handle hard times, suffering triumphantly, we have to look at, understand that there are two perspectives that's happening every time a hardship comes up. The first perspective is earthly, an earthly perspective. Look at verse 23. "During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God." Now, this was what was happening on earth. Their slavery was hard. They had taken the straw used to make bricks, making the task of making bricks even harder. And they were very oppressed, even in a deeper, more painful, more harsher fashion. And they cried out because of this, and their cry came up to the Lord. Now, that's what's happening on earth. On earth, it's looking grim, very grim. And think about other examples. We won't go into them. We'll just mention them. Remember when Joseph was lied on by his brothers, sold into slavery? He was lied on by Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned, forgotten while he was in prison. So it looked bleak on earth for Joseph. How about Job? His tremendous loss of everything, all of his financial and economic prosperity was gone in one day. Even the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ from an earthly perspective seemed hopeless. We're going to just do a quick dive into that one. Look at Luke 24th chapter. There's an earthly perspective, and you guessed it, there's also a heavenly perspective. We'll get to that in a moment. Luke, the 24th chapter, look at verse 13. This is what was happening on earth and how the folks on earth understood the crucifixion. Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them being disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Talking about the previous 2 days. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." It's already been spoken. "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" So as you look at verse 17, they were looking sad, and you saw that all these deeds were done that were mighty before God, verse 20, "and I was delivered up to our chief priests to be condemned to death and was crucified," verse 21, "and we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." So you see on earth, according to that perspective, and that's always a lesson for us. When you're going through your hardship, always realize that you don't get caught up in only the earthly perspective. Let that marinate for a moment. Let that hang. I know it's a challenge. There are times that what's going on earth can be absolutely daunting. It can be harrowing. It can be overwhelming. You can be in so much pain, even in your physical body. I understand that. But hopefully through that, the Lord can bring this reminder that there's still something going on in heaven at the same time. Amen? Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's always God in heaven working things out. That's what the heavenly perspective is. God is always in heaven working things out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "As we look not to the things that are seen." You see that? But that's what we're doing, because that's earthly perspective. "But to the things that are unseen," heavenly perspective. "For the things that are seen," earthly perspective, "are transient." That means temporary, like fluid, if you will. What's some other words? Fleeting, momentary, brief. "But the things that are unseen are eternal." So remember, your earthly perspective is temporary, fleeting, momentary, brief, when compared with the unseen things that are eternal. So when he says to not look at, we're not talking about not necessarily casting your literal vision towards something, because some things you can't help but see. But what he's talking about is landing there and staying there as if there is no heavenly, eternal perspective. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's not to not look at things that are seen. So you can mistake that by to mean to deny that it's even existing or that it's not happening. That's not what he's talking about. It's not what he's talking about. Because Joseph You saw what happened with Joseph. Jesus was killed. He was murdered. Joseph, Job, all the, his. So it's there. But what did Job do? He tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. He began to go heavenward with his. So that's the earthly perspective in verse 4. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 2. So that was the earthly perspective. From the earth, Israel was groaning. Their slavery was hard. In those days, the king of Egypt died, so another king comes. Same old, same old. They're crying out for help. And they're crying out for rescue from slavery. And their cry came up to God. Verse 24. Now let's look at the heavenly perspective. Four things happened concerning God. Verse 24. And God heard their groaning. Groaning, audible sounds of pain and suffering. Two, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Three, God saw the sons of Israel. Verse four, and God knew or took notice of them. Four things. He heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant. He saw the sons of Israel and he knew or took notice of them. That's the same thing you have to bring into your remembrance and into your mind, that God is hearing your prayers and your groanings. He is remembering his covenant of redemption with you. He's seeing all that's happening to you and he knows and has taken notice of you. Amen. So let's go back. Let's go to the first one. And God heard. God heard. How many know that God hears his children?
Amen.
God hears his children when they cry out. That's a guarantee. Let's look at Psalm 55. The 55th Psalm. Verse 17. Just going to look at a few verses to encourage us concerning God hearing us. And I'm not going to rush you. I'm not concerned about completing, getting to all four of them. I just want you to be encouraged with what the Lord gives us tonight. Amen. You can take it home and put it into action right away. Psalm 55, verse 17. Lord, let this word encourage us, your children. God hears his children when they cry out. Verse 55, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. Evening, morning, and at noon. So this person is uttering and complaining and moaning, and he hears, not complaining, my complaint and moaning. And he hears my voice. Look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15th chapter. Verse 29. He hears his children. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked. From who? The wicked. But, contrast and conjunction, he hears the prayer of the righteous.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, a word of life, it's not about how you feel.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, well, I don't know God hearing that. I mean, is he too busy? I mean, there's a war going on in Israel. He got to pay a lot of attention to there. He said the hairs of your head are all numbered. So there's a guy with a big afro. He counting his hairs. So I'm distracted. No. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I was trying to pull a joke to it. Didn't nobody even they didn't blink at all on that one. My Lord. Chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over who? The righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let's take just a little dive into this verse. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The literal Hebrew is there. Eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You know what that means? It means that the Lord's eyes, his gaze, is upon the righteous. In other words, the Lord is guarding, listen to this, watching, directing, caring for, looking after, paying attention to, and looking with favor toward those that are righteous. That's good news. The emphasis here is on his, I like this phrasing, omniscient awareness of every detail of believers' lives. I want to read that again. Omniscient awareness of every detail. The Lord's eyes, his gaze, is upon the righteous. In other words, the Lord is guarding, watching, directing, caring for, looking after, paying attention to, and looking with favor towards those that are righteous. If you're righteous, that's what he's doing. He's paying attention to you. He's gazing at you. He's looking after you, paying attention to you. I don't care how you feel. Amen. This is what's happening actually in heaven. Heavenly, from the heavenly perspective, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Amen. Looking after you, caring for you, paying attention to you, looking with favor towards you. And again, the emphasis from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter is on God's omniscient awareness of every detail of believers' lives. Amen. Every detail. Lord, help us to get that. There's nothing that's insignificant. Oh, that don't matter. Why would he pay attention to that? Every detail. If the very hairs on your head are numbered, he certainly is paying attention to other details. Amen. His eyes are over or upon the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. The word unto literally is ears. The literal Greek is his ears into their prayers. His ears into their prayers. In other words, God's ears are into the prayers of the righteous. Amen. You know what that means? It's a picture of God bending down into the very prayers of his children, earnestly listening to their petitions, eager to answer them and come to the aid of those who pray. Not even casual listening. It's ear hutting listening. Yes, listening. Lord, help us to get this. It's the devil who will try to tell you, oh, God ain't listen. That prayer ain't going to hide in the ceiling. And all those sort of things. No, I have a promise in his word that tells me that his eyes are upon me, gazing upon me, looking at me, paying attention to me, and his ears are into my prayers. Amen. God is bending down at the moment that you're praying the very prayers of his children, earnestly listening to your prayers, your petitions, eager to answer them if they're prayed according to your will. Amen. Someone once wrote, we have no far off deity to make propitious. No, it's our propitiation to satisfy. We don't have a far-off deity to satisfy. We do not have to plead with God to make him willing to answer our prayers. He is more desirous of answering them than we are to have them answered. Because he wants to answer prayers that are according to his will. Do you really believe that? That's the question. You got to ask yourself that. So his ears are into their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. One more. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Notice I asked the Eskimos. They've heard it before, but it bears repeating, amen? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Of course, this is why he hears it. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward God, our Father, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's key right there. That's where the prosperity folks and the word faith folks and the charismatics sometimes miss that, or a lot of times miss that. It's not about you just having what you say as you talk. It's got to be according to his will. Amen. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Now, again, verse 15, if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, but you got to remind that whatever we ask, according to his will, we know that we have the request. Does that make sense? It's got to be according to his will. Now, someone may say, well, you know, God didn't hear me when I cried out. And my warning would be careful now. Careful. I hear you. I hear you. All of those verses talking about God hearing us, but boy, you weren't there when this happened or that happened. I was suffering, or a baby got hurt or something like that. But we got to realize that when we are experiencing hardship, when we are feeling helpless, we're tempted in that moment to question God. Is he really watching over us? Is he really listening to our prayers? Be careful. We tend to question. If we're questioning God, then we're doubting God. If we're doubting God, then we are not in faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is, uh-oh. That's hard, but true. The fact is, God cares for us. Amen. That's why, as I keep warning, when you hear, God loves us. Yes, he does. But what does that love look like? It's not always gooey gooey, marshmallow, nice feel. It is not. When he's breaking pride, breaking your pride, you're talking about on Sunday, when he's breaking pride, that's not a good feeling. It's necessary because he does love you. So when things are going wrong, recognize that all things are working together for good. That's the heavenly perspective. Be careful when you question and doubt God, because you may be in sin. Because the fact is that God does care for us. It says, casting all your cares upon him, because he what? He cares for you. God does care for us. But we can be so caught up in the moment, right? And caught up in the earthly perspective. That's what we're talking about. That we doubt that God is paying attention to us. And that can lead to us fearing the worst. Now we're all off into things that are not even there yet. Mm-hmm. Worse still, maybe. It may turn us away from following God. It may cause us to be blasphemous, if blasphemous, and shake our fist at him. Well, how dare you? Where are you? God, be careful. God ain't heard me when I cried out. Well, then, if are you righteous? Then you're calling God a lie. Because his eyes are over the righteous, are unto the righteous, and his ears are into their prayers. So either you're going to believe what you're feeling and call God a lie, or you're going to call yourself a lie and then God be true. And that's what the word said, let God be true and every man a lie. God cannot lie. You can write it down, 1 John 1:10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. You can make God a liar in a sense by not accepting, you don't literally make him a liar, but by you not accepting that, you're calling him one. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Don't let the earthly perspective dominate you so that you fool around and make God a liar in the sense of saying, hey, his word is not true. Look at Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. Lord, help us to remember that in the time of deep hurt and pain and agony and confusion, disorientation, help us to maintain our faith in your word. Romans 3, verse 3. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? You hear that? No. Ms. Palmer already shaking her head. No. If a human being, a child of God, loses their faith in God, does that make God not be faithful? No. Verse 4. May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. That is written. Yeah, let God be found true. So when you are struggling and having a challenge concerning the earthly perspective, you're not really whacking your way through the earthly perspective weed field, if you will, then and you're struggling there, you've got to be careful and let the Holy Spirit guide you. In other words, hey, you're struggling right now. You need to really be careful what you say right now. How about we just don't? How about we just button it up? Meditate the word. Get it together. And then once you have your heart and mind right, then speak to the Lord. And petition him. He's listening. He's watching over you. And understand the challenge. You know, wow, if God was watching, why would he? How could he just look at me going, he always has a plan. Amen. He always has a plan. He is working all things together for good. You got to go back to that. Good is being worked. Good for the glory of God and good for our time here and in eternity. Why do people say Christians? Say that God ain't heard me. Or he didn't hear me. What are two reasons? One, because God didn't do what they wanted him to do. And they're saying, if you would have heard me, then he would have done what I... And that's something. We and our pea brain, finite, flesh, ruled at times, selves are saying to a pure, holy God, you didn't hear me because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. How dare we judge God in this way? That's what we're doing. We're judging God. Did you ever stop to think, Word of Life, that it is even a grace of God that he even hears us?
Yes, amen.
Come on, somebody. It's a grace that even hears us. He doesn't have to hear us, but he chose to hear us. Hold on, let's rewind that. He even chose to save us to even choose then to hear us. Whether he answers our prayers or not, the way we want him to answer, it's a grace that he even hears us. Whether our circumstances change or not, it's a grace that he has even heard us. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Our comfort should be in knowing the fact that we can commune with God.
Amen.
Knowing that he's listening. Not wondering. Knowing that he's listening. And not only just listening, but with great intensity. If Hutton listening, ear inclined to our listening, and he's listening earnestly and with great intensity. That's the fact from heaven. That's what's happening in heaven. As the old song said, we can have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our troubles. And you hear what kind of cry?
Faintest
cry. He'll answer by and by. We can have a little talk with Jesus. We can tell him all our troubles. So the first thing is we getting all looking crazy at God because we feel he hadn't heard us because he didn't do what we wanted him to do when we wanted him to do it. We got some nerve doing that. Think that through. And you say, boy, that's crazy. Yeah, but we've done that. The second reason we don't think God is listening is because we're not seeing things from a heavenly perspective. All we see is what's happening on the ground. Right in front of us. That's where the verse comes in. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things that are seen are transient, temporary, fleeting, brief. But if you get stuck there, you're in danger then of falling into those two things. Blaming God because he didn't do what you wanted. He didn't do what you wanted him to do at the moment you wanted him to do it. And secondly, you're not seeing things from an earthly perspective. You're stuck right here on the ground. But in reality, what's happening in heaven is God has heard us. God has seen us. And not a casual glance. It's a gaze to protect, to watch out over. So he's even me in demonstrating the E.F. Hutton lean, I have to turn my head. He doesn't have to. He can lean, anthropomorphically speaking, he can lean and see with great intensity. He's listening earnestly and seeing completely. His omniscient awareness.
Amen.
Who helped us to get what kind of father we have? He's a great father. He's a good, good father. He has heard us. And the good news is that God is never, ever too busy or too preoccupied to hear us. Even though he's very busy, in a sense. Look at Hebrews chapter. You can write it down. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Good news. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. God, or Jesus rather, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now that's a lot of busy if you could put it in anthropomorphic speaking. He's holding up the whole universe by the word of his power. That is absolutely amazing. 1 degree, and I hear we're 23 and a half tilt on the axis. 1 degree closer, maybe even less than that. We burn up, closer to the sun, that is. 1 degree further, we freeze. It's got to be right there. So that is an amazing thing. That he is all of the processes that are happening in the entire universe. He's upholding that. By the word of his power. Psalm 75, verse 3. Write it down. Psalm 75, verse 3. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars.
Hallelujah.
That's God. And you think, you know, he can handle you. Can't handle us. He's not. Don't think, wow, he's really busy. All of them better hear me. He's God. Nothing is what? Too difficult for him. Yeah, well, that's, yeah. But nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing. Look at Romans 11. Let's turn there real quick. Romans 11, verse 36. That wasn't fair. Nothing is, few things that go behind that. Romans 11, verse 36. We're getting ready to close. Thank you for your patience. Romans 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. But I want you to look at the second. For from him and through him. That through him means he sustains all things and he keeps all things going. Sound like the one who's steadying the pillars and upholding the universe. I want to show you, and then Colossians 1:17, write it down. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians 1:17. So you have Hebrews 1:3 upholding the universe by the word of his power. Psalm 75:3, it is I who keep steady the pillars of the earth. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him he sustains all things and keeps all things going. And Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now listen to this note. In spite of God upholding the universe, keeping steady the universe's pillars, sustaining all things, and keeping all things going, in spite of all of this, God still hears us when we cry out. That's the point. He's never too busy. He's never too preoccupied. Help us, Father, to remember that. Glory be to God. God sees. I mean, and God heard. God heard. We're going to stop there. I won't even begin the next one. And God remembered his covenant. He did remember it. But just be encouraged tonight. Pray. Pray without ceasing. The word of God says. Man ought always to pray and not faint or give up. Talk to the Lord. Tell him all about your troubles, your challenges. Lord, I'm struggling to believe in you in this area. Help my unbelief. Be real with him. He already knows what's going on. Yeah, be real with him. I'm struggling in this area. Lord, this has been going on a long time. How much longer? He won't answer that probably. Because realize he's working all things together for good. And what you're going through has purpose, right? In other words, what you're going through, there's something that you need to grow in, something needs to happen in your life. Something maybe need to be chipped away. Whatever it is, he's working all of that for your good in time and his good in eternity and glory in eternity. All things working together for good. What you want to focus on really is, Lord, let me understand Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, I think. My grace is sufficient for you. His grace is adequate. It's enough to get you through. Keep remembering that. That's what you dwell on. That's what's happening from a heavenly perspective. I've given you grace. He didn't say, Paul, I'm going to take it away. No, he sought the Lord, pleaded with the Lord, begged the Lord 3 times. But he kept getting the same answer. My grace is sufficient. Then he finally got it. Oh, I will gladly then boast in my weaknesses. For when I am weak, then he is strong. I'll gladly rejoice in my infirmities. Because I understand that the power of Christ may dwell, yes. Pitch a tent, yes. Live, yes. Permanently reside and settle. Hallelujah. In me. Amen. So I see that power of Christ is made manifest when I'm broken. Yes. So when you're confused and you're dazed and you don't know what's going on and you don't have any answers and you're overwhelmed, you're in the right spot. You're in the right place for God, for the power of Christ that's dwelling in you to rise and live big within you. Lord God, please help us to get that. Help us to embrace our weaknesses. Joseph in prison, nothing he can do. Job, all of them gone, all 10. Nothing there. Weak, limited, frail, feeble. Nothing we can do. That's good. Because then the power of Christ can rise and be within us. And then we're fit and able and ready to be used by the Master. Amen. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.